Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's sermon podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Today is May 17th, and it's a big day for our seniors. They got graduation today, and I know all the parents are super proud of them. I know we are super proud of them. They've worked super hard, and today's a big day for them. They're ending one chapter and starting another one, so super thankful for all the seniors. Gonna miss them. Gonna miss having them over at the Cove. And also, May 17th on this day is our first time doing our summer services, meaning we're all together at one service. So it might be a little more crammed, but we're a family. We love being close with one another. So I always think summertime's a very special time. It's great to all be together as one body, being able to worship together as one body. So really looking forward to this summer being all together. Anyways, this morning, have a few announcements before I start. First off, VBS starts in 2 weeks. So if you aren't registered, make sure to get registered because that is right around the corner. And the other thing is we are having a Cove dedication service Sunday night, May 24th. So if you want to come out and see the new Cove building, make sure to come on out around May 24th, and I believe that is going to be at 6 p.m. So yep, 6 p.m. at the Cove, May 24th, we're having a dedication service. Just a time to pray over the space, be thankful for that new space, do some worship, be together, and just dedicate that space to God. We want to pray for it because that place has a bright future of a lot of kids hearing about Jesus Christ. So we're super blessed to have it, super excited for that dedication service. So make sure to come on out May 24th at 6 p.m. So this morning, I have the privilege of giving the message, and we're going to be in Philippians. When Dan asked me to preach, he told me I can preach on any topic I want, or any passage or verses I want, which is great, but the Bible is obviously a really big book. And there are endless possibilities of what you can preach on from God's Word. So nailing down where I wanted to go today was actually a little challenging because there's so many possibilities. Well, we also just wrapped up Sunday school, and we also just wrapped up our last regular youth group. We had a big old party over at JC Park on Wednesday night. There was probably over 200 people there. And yeah, we grilled out. We played sand volleyball. We had a band come out, a Christian band named Kevin McClure. And it was a lot of fun. So grateful for another great year at the Cove with all the students. Anyway, we also just wrapped up Sunday school because we break for the summer. And this year for Sunday school, we would pick a book from the Bible. We would read a chapter or so each week and discuss it together. You know, a good old-fashioned Bible study. And we ended in Philippians this year, and there was a part that really stood out to me from the last chapter. It's one of the most quoted verses in all of the Bible, and that verse is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is a life verse for a lot of people, and you'll see it put up in homes, maybe on their walls. A lot of athletes use this verse, often writing it on their shoes, on their gear, on their arms. It's a very powerful verse, but what stood out to me is the context we find this verse. And honestly, I hadn't really ever paid much attention to the verses that lead up to verse 13. See, a lot of times this verse can be taken out of context. People like me don't pay too much close attention to the words before it, and they just look at this verse, and they can use it as a means to achieve anything they set their mind to if they have Christ. Any Christian who has had any kind of goal, whether that's for work, finances, health, athletics, or fitness, has probably thought of this verse. But what happens when we fall short of that goal or that thing we wanted to accomplish? Did God not keep his promise? Well, when we read the verses that lead up to verse 13, we see that Paul is talking about what it means to be content. He is saying that no matter what the circumstances are, good or bad, through Christ who strengthens him, he is able to be content. He isn't saying, I can accomplish any worldly goal that I set my mind to because of Christ. He is saying that no matter what situation he is in, he is able to get through it and be content because of Christ who gives him strength. So let's read the passage together, and then we will unpack it some more. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning where we can just read your word together and unpack it, Lord. Thank you for the truth we find in Scripture, God, and thank you for the encouragement that the Apostle Paul gives us in his book to the Philippians, Lord. And God, I just thank you that no matter what circumstances we face, good or bad, we're able to be content because of you who gives us strength. And so, Lord, I just pray we can learn more about the true meaning of this verse, and just thank you for all you do. In your name I pray, amen. All right, so today I want to focus on what this passage is really about, and that is what it means to be content in Christ. First, I want to define what it means to be content. Contentment is an inward peace and joy that comes from trusting in God's sovereignty rather than relying on external circumstances. It's choosing to appreciate and enjoy what I have now instead of believing that the next thing will bring lasting happiness and fulfillment. We can have goals and ambitions. In fact, we need to have goals and ambitions spiritually and physically. As a Christian, we should always be striving to grow in our walk with Christ. The fancy word is sanctification. It's becoming more Christ-like and spiritually mature. And when it comes to life goals, it's great to have those too. But where we can run into problems is believing that I won't be happy or fulfilled until I get that next thing or achieve that next thing or finally have enough money. I know I've gotten caught in this mindset before, but what we see from Paul's example is that no matter what we have or don't have, we can be content because Christ is enough. With Christ, we lack nothing. It's still very important to strive to be the best we can with what God has given us, but at the end of the day, we have to know that Christ is all we need, and we can be content no matter what the circumstances are. I mentioned earlier how this verse can be taken out of context by using it as, I can achieve anything if I have Christ. I do have to say, I don't think it is wrong to use this verse as motivation to accomplish something, as long as it lines up with God's will. I say that because as believers, our strength does come from Christ. The word strength and its derivatives, you know, strengthened, strengthen, strong, these words are mentioned over 360 times in the Bible. An overarching theme in the Bible is that God is our source of strength. It's not in our own power we find strength, but we find it in God's power. So for me, I know I have often thought of Philippians 4:13 when I have been trying to overcome a struggle or temptation. I have needed it when I've been battling a sin and trying to overcome it. I can overcome it through Christ who strengthens me. If I rely on my own strength, I know I'm going to keep falling short over and over again. When it comes to being content, that can be a real challenge sometimes. I know it has been at times for me. Life throws so much at us, and it's so easy to get caught up in our circumstances to where we can be anxious, depressed, and just in a state of discontent. We don't even have to be facing difficult circumstances and can still find ourselves discontent. A big reason for that is because we live in a society that tells us we need all this stuff and we need the newest things to truly be happy and satisfied. When in reality, in America, we have so much more than the rest of the world. I've heard it said, if you're born in America, you won the lottery. I instantly think of the iPhone. Man, I swear they come out with a new one like every 6 months to a year. I don't even know what number they're on at this point. I think it's the 17 or something. And when they come out with a new one, they're like, come on, trade in your old one, get the newest. When in reality, all these new iPhones, they pretty much all work the same. When I was in college, I wanted to get a new phone. I got my first phone when I was 16 for my 16th birthday, although my mom still made me pay for half of it. Thanks, Mom. And I think it was like the iPhone 6, maybe it was the iPhone 7, I can't really remember. Anyway, when I was in college, I was like, this thing is junk, and I wanted to get the newest iPhone that was out at the time. However, I didn't want to pay full price for the newest iPhone. So I bought one online from a dude for a much lower price than what it would have cost at retail full price. Well, when I tried to set up service on it, I found out the phone was reported as lost or stolen. So I couldn't get any service on it, and the dude I bought it from disappeared. Like, I totally got scammed. Oh, man, it was rough. So I ended up with a glorified iPod because I was only able to really use it on Wi-Fi. So let's just say I definitely learned a lesson. Another example is when I was in my senior year of high school, my $800 Hyundai Accent broke down, so I needed to get a new car before heading off to college. I went to college in Kansas City, so I would need a reliable car that would frequently be able to make the drive to KC and back so I could visit home when I wanted to. Well, I didn't have my eyes set on a boring, reliable car. Like any teenager, I wanted to get a sports car. I wanted to get a car that's called a Mazda RX-8, which I thought was so cool because it's a sports car with suicide doors. So the back doors, they open the opposite way. So when all the doors are opened up on the car, it looks super cool. Anyways, I had my eyes on that car. However, the RX-8 has a rotary engine, which requires a lot of care and maintenance, and I've never been very good at being particular about that kind of stuff with my vehicles. And the car is terrible on gas mileage. So let's just say it's not a very reliable car. But I was fixated on it. I even found one on Craigslist or Marketplace, I can't remember which one. And I even went to go look at it and take it for a spin, which the guy probably shouldn't have even let me do that because I barely knew how to drive stick at the time. Well, thankfully, my mom talked me out of buying it, and I ended up getting a manual transmission Ford Fusion, which was a great, reliable car for me. It gets a lot better gas mileage, too. Anyways, it's easy to get caught up in, I need the coolest, newest, and funnest things to be content. It's not wrong to want nice and new things, and it's not wrong to get them either. But when we think that's what will make us happy, and I will only be content if I get it, that's where we run into issues. As you can see, I've definitely been guilty of that, and I could list many more examples of things I have bought or wanted to buy, thinking it would make me happier or more content. Does anyone else like scrolling through Facebook Marketplace? Even when they aren't looking for anything in specific or something they need? I gotta admit, I got a bad habit of going on there just to see if there's anything cool or fun that I could buy, even though I don't need anything, let alone really have the money to buy anything like that's super fun and cool that you would find on Marketplace. So anyway, in our passage for today, the Apostle Paul gives us the secret in how to live a content life. So I want to share three ways to be content in Christ from our passage. But before I share what those three things are, we need to look at the context of when Paul is telling us these things. Paul wrote this passage while imprisoned in Rome, likely around 60 to 62 AD, and he was facing a potential death sentence. Paul was enduring extreme hardship, yet the book of Philippians is full of joy and encouragement. Verse 10 says, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it." So Paul wrote this letter with profound teachings to the church in Philippi that he founded about 10 years prior, and he also wrote it in gratitude and thankfulness towards them. He is thankful because in the ancient world, prisoners were not provided food or basic necessities by the state like they are today. These things would have been provided by friends or family, and in Paul's case, it was the Philippians that gave him what he needed while in prison. Paul assures them that while their generosity is deeply appreciated, his joy in survival did not rely on their money or his fluctuating circumstances. Which brings me to my first point, and that is, we have to learn how to be content. Verse 11 says, "I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances." Paul had every reason to be discontent. I mean, the dude is literally in prison right now just because of his faith in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 through 27, we also read about some of the circumstances and difficulties Paul has had to endure. I'm going to go ahead and read it. "Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I have been beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled, and I have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and I have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked." As you guys can see, Paul had so many things that gave him a reason to be discontent. Paul had to learn how to be content despite all the challenges and difficult circumstances he faced. We see that he could do this and persevere because he could do all things through him who gives me strength. In life, we all will face difficult circumstances or challenges, but we can learn like Paul did. With Christ's strength, we can get through it and have contentment through it all. Recently, Brennan and I have been getting hit pretty hard. Hospital bills, taxes, had to get a new HVAC, we need to replace our gutters. It's just been one thing after another. But through all the burdens, we are able to be content because of our relationship with Christ and knowing God is faithful. Another thing Brennan and I recently had to learn is being content with getting less sleep. Because as a lot of you know, having a baby means less sleep. Well, Brenna's had to learn that a lot more than me because apparently I'm a pretty heavy sleeper. I think one of the best ways we can learn how to be content is through prayer. When we pray, we know that God is listening and we can experience His peace. Just a couple paragraphs before our passage, Paul shared in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." When anxiety arises in our lives, we are able to pray and know the God of the universe hears us and is for us. I know I need to pray more because having a prayer life is a major way we learn how to be content. Contentment is not only learned, it is also a choice, which is my second point. Being content is a choice. Verse 12 again says, "I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. When we choose not to be content with what God has given us, it makes us look horizontally, looking at what other people have and comparing ourselves to others. I think of social media as a big culprit of this. We can see how great someone's life looks on social media and then become discontent with our own and with all the blessings God has given us that are right in front of our face. However, if we choose contentment, it allows us to look vertically and see what God is doing and how he is at work in our lives and in the lives of others around us. I immediately think of the Israelites after God delivered them out of Egyptian slavery. You would think they would be very content going from slavery to freedom, but no, that wasn't the case. During their time in the wilderness, over and over again, they express how discontent they are. They complain and grumble, and even when God provides for them by faithfully giving them food, they still aren't satisfied. They got tired of manna and wanted more, which would lead to more problems between God and his people. Their discontent caused them to lack faith and trust in God, even though he was there for them the whole time. Like the Israelites, if we choose not to be content, we can fall into a similar response of not fully trusting in the Lord. David paints a beautiful picture of what it looks like to have satisfaction and contentment in the Lord. In Psalm 131, he says, "My heart is not proud, Lord, my eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content." Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. As a new father, this picture really resonated with me. When Hadassah gets hungry and all worked up, she is the farthest thing from content. I mean, she will cry and cry. But when she is done nursing and is weaned from her mom, she is the most peaceful, satisfied, content little baby you've ever seen. It's the most beautiful picture of contentment. Well, that is as long as she doesn't have a burp stuck. David says, "I am completely satisfied in the Lord like a weaned child." In the beginning of verse 2, David says, "I have stilled and quieted my soul before God." He isn't trying to find satisfaction in fleeting things, but simply finds it from having a relationship with the Lord and spending time with him. That's something we all need to do, and it's something I know I need to do more of. This psalm reminds us that the greatest satisfaction and contentment in life doesn't come from power, prestige, possessions, promotions, or even people. It comes from resting in and having a personal relationship with Christ. I also think of when David was being hunted by King Saul and constantly at risk of losing his life, and David's in constant hiding. There were two times when David could have killed Saul when Saul was hunting him. Once when Saul was going to the bathroom in a cave, and another time when he was asleep in his tent. Twice, David spared him. David didn't kill Saul because he was able to find strength in the Lord and be content by knowing God was going to protect him and get him through the circumstances he was currently facing. When it comes to choosing contentment, we can again look back in this chapter to the paragraph just before our passage, verses 8 and 9. I don't know about you guys, but for me, it can be really easy to think negatively and for my mind to go in the wrong directions. But Paul tells us in these verses, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. When we are choosing to set our minds on those things, it will be a lot easier and possible for us to live a life of contentment. The last point I have is that Christ is our source of contentment through giving us strength. Philippians 4:13 again says, "I can do all this through him who gives me strength." Again, this is not a promise that we as Christians will have superpowers or that we are invincible or immune to life's challenges. Instead, the promise of this verse is that we will have strength from the Lord to faithfully endure the difficulties that arise in life. Christ can give contentment during times of plenty and of poverty. He can help us do all things through his strength. In Paul's case, it was strength to serve as a missionary despite all the difficulties and despite all the intense suffering he was facing. In our lives, this same strength is available to help us endure the most difficult of life's challenges. Lastly, having a life of contentment is completely impossible without a personal relationship with Christ. Without Christ, we are lost in our sin and deserve the punishment of death. It's pretty hard to be content when totally stuck in our sin. But the good news is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, taking our punishment, and because of that, we can have forgiveness, freedom from our sins, new life, and a restored relationship with God. Let's pray, and then that's the sermon for today. Thank you so much for listening. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much that no matter what we face in this life, Lord, you give us strength to endure, to persevere, and through that, because of that, all things are possible, God, because of the strength you give us, Lord. God, I just thank you for this time you've given us this morning to be in your word, Lord. I pray that whatever we have going on, whatever people who are listening to this are facing right now, whatever struggles they have, they know that with you, because of your strength, they can overcome. And God, we just thank you again for your son Jesus, that you sent him to die on the cross for our sins so we can have a new life. Pray all this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.